It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
You know we're on the air, right? Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa, left versus the right. How you doing, Curtis? Are you ready to engage in some legitimate political discourse? That's what I want to know. And by that, I don't plan on throwing a city bike at you. I plan on actually just having a conversation. There's no pepper spray in the room. Curtis isn't hearing anything I'm saying. So I guess I'm going to just vamp for a second. America, the left versus the right. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa. You know Curtis Sliwa. He is the founder of the Guardian Angels. I'm Chris Hahn. You see me on the Fox News channel for the last 13 years, mixing it up with the right wing. So, and we're listening to right now a little Green Day, which, quite frankly, is among my favorite bands in the world. And this is American Idiot, which I think is one of the greatest albums of the last 25 years. So, you know, having fun with that. I don't know, Curtis. You think that 30 years of radio, Curtis would have his own headphones that worked. he's having an issue with the headphones. The technicians are trying to fix it frantically, and we'll see if they work. Let's see if he can hear me. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear.
You know, we are sitting 6 feet apart, too.
Right? But this was an act of sabotage.
Yeah.
Every weekend, I get sabotaged here at our Mothership Connection in New York, the number one news talk station in the nation, WABC. Yeah. We're doing this, the national broadcast, but I do local broadcasts. Inevitably, the board op, the producers sabotage my segments.
Did you check their resumes? Were they on the Eric Adams campaign before they came here?
Well, think about it. You're live, right?
Yeah, I'm live. I hear everything.
Meantime, I was in delay.
Yeah.
Which meant that I was hearing the show 5 minutes later.
Oh, is that why you didn't understand what was going on there?
Exactly.
You were hearing something that was happening before I started. I was like, Curtis, we're on the air. Exactly. You're supposed to open the show. Because they somehow think you're a little more famous than me, so you're supposed to open the show. Although I think people in Sheboygan who are listening to us right now, they probably know me and you about equal.
Well, why don't we do a poll?
We'll do a poll.
Why don't we do a McLaughlin poll all across the nation?
Larry the Beal Barnes. I think you and I are the only people listening to this right now who remember the McLaughlin group. Wrong, Curtis Sliwa, wrong!
But we're on track here, ladies and gentlemen. We're back on track.
Let me go to Curtis Sliwa on this issue. Curtis?
Again, we had a song that I couldn't even hear because we were on delay.
It was American Idiot, and we sounded like idiots because we were on delay. I guess we were American Idiots today. Little Green Day. I'm a big Green Day fan.
Well, you're the big Fox News contributor, although I've had my fair share of Fox News lately because of all the crime issues. But I'm best known as the international leader of the Guardian Angels with patrols all over the world, all across America, and obviously recently had a failed mayoral campaign.
You're Batman in a sateen jacket.
Yeah, very good.
Exactly.
Very good. That's right.
A red sateen jacket that nobody would mistake you for a bat, but, you know, maybe a traffic cone.
And obviously just ran as a Republican candidate for mayor, so the RNC has sent out the bat signal to all members all across the country. And they have said, basically, we are settling all scores.
Yeah.
And to those of you who are on that committee, that January 6th committee.
You're persona non grata.
You are people of no consequence.
Yeah, yeah.
They have, what can we call it? Delisted?
They censured them, saying that their actions are un-Republican because they're seeking the truth about January 6th. And which they have now deemed, the Republican National Committee has now deemed the riot, the insurrection, the violence that occurred on January 6th as legitimate political discourse. Now, I've been in politics my whole life, since I was a teenager. I've never gotten into a fist fight over legitimate political discourse. I've gotten into fist fights over other things, but not over legitimate political discourse.
Well, let's compare it. We've seen Black Lives Matter was riding high in the summer of 2020. Corporations throwing millions of dollars trying to buy insulation from Black Lives Matter, accusing them of being racist.
Yeah.
Untold millions, unaccounted for now. Their operations in terms of fundraising are being closed all over the country.
What is your point here? Why are you comparing Black Lives Matter to the riot that occurred?
Because
while the
oftentimes.
Yeah, there was violence associated with people around
it. Well, not only violence. They would say this is legitimate political discourse.
Well, the people protesting in the street were a legitimate political discourse. People who wanted to protest it, you want to protest the results of the election based on the big lie that was told to you by the former guy, that's fine.
But the minute
you get violent about it, that's no longer legitimate.
But having been in enough of these demonstrations
that
led to rioting, shooting, and looting, you always point out the one where if you go to YouTube, you can see I and the Guardian Angels battling in the streets.
You're protecting a Foot Locker in Soho for some reason. I don't understand that. But.
Hundreds of demonstrators who had decided
they weren't demonstrators. You yourself have said this to me. They weren't demonstrators.
No, but they started demonstrating earlier in the day.
Right.
Then they broke off from the main demonstration.
The people who broke off from the demonstrations were no longer demonstrating.
Right, but you could make the same argument about those in January 6th, the bulk of whom did not go to the House of Representatives.
What the RNC is saying, stop investigating January 6th. It was just legitimate political discourse. I'm sorry. We're not investigating people who were just showing up to show their support for Trump, as wrong as that was in and of itself. They had an absolute political right to do that. What is being investigated is why some people went to the Capitol after being told by people like Rudy Giuliani, let's have trial by combat, and others having violent rhetoric from that stage. And quite frankly, throughout the month leading up to that, we want to know who those people were. That was not legitimate political discourse. And if the Republican National Committee is not going to acknowledge that what happened that day should never happen again, we have a real problem in this
country. Well, wait a second, but what about that summer of 2020 in which leaders of Black Lives Matter were urging violence in the streets on a regular basis?
I have never seen a political movement say that violence was okay before. The Democratic National Committee was not endorsing the violence that happened in the streets. They were not endorsing burning down buildings and burning cars in the
streets. They did not condemn it.
They did.
Who?
They absolutely did.
Who?
Joe Biden did. Kamala Harris did. Every single... Al Sharpton.
Kamala Harris
contributed the violence.
For bail for those that were attacking cops.
No, people who were arrested just because they were there. There were a lot of people arrested during those riots. A lot more people arrested during those protests in the summer of 2020 than were arrested on January 6th.
But this was every day throughout the summer.
And
in throughout America.
Every day, hundreds
Portland,
of people.
Portland, every day.
Every
there was
day,
a demonstration
people, every
du jour.
Day people were
You know what they started
arrested.
With in Portland? It started with they would gather up, they'd have speeches.
Right.
Then all of a sudden they'd go down to the courthouse. They'd start attacking the police. So they'd go over to Immigration and Naturalization Service. They burned precincts.
Okay, so let's just make this about you and me.
Right.
Okay. I condemn violence in the name of politics, whoever does it, whether they are a leftist or a rightist. Do you?
Of course I do.
Right. So why would the RNC now justify violence? That is absurd. It is bizarre, and it is going to lead to their destruction. Republicans are calling them out. Romney is calling out his niece, Mitt Romney.
Excuse me. You're really stretching to have to reach for Mitt Romney.
Toomey, there was about a half dozen Republican senators.
You know what
a half dozen of them.
This all has to do with the fact that Nancy Pelosi stacked a committee, did not put on any members of the Republican House.
Well, hold on a second. The Republicans had the opportunity to have a commission that had no elected officials on it, and Trump didn't want it, so McConnell and McCarthy said, no, we won't do it. Then Pelosi said, we're going to have a committee of the House. But we're not going to let like Jim Jordan, who basically should be a witness at this committee because he was part of the planning of it. We're not going to let him on the committee. He was planning the attack.
Come on. This is a stacked deck and you know it. Come on, Chris. This is not a committee of diverse points of view on what happened on January 6th.
Okay. Liz Cheney voted with Trump 93% of the time. 93% of the time. Okay. What she didn't do was say the election was rigged and that he's still president. That's the one place she parted from him. She's out of the party now. Same with Adam Kinzinger. Adam Kinzinger maybe not have been is not a 95% Trump voter, but he was about a 90% Trump voter. And two very conservative members of the House of Representatives. The only thing that separates them from the Trumpists is that they believe in the results of the election and that the vice president couldn't overturn the results of the election.
All right, but you look at Black Lives Matter, which had support within the DNC. The mayor of the city of New York now, Eric Adams, every day was painting in the streets of New York City with Bill de Blasio.
Yeah, Black Lives
Black
Matter.
Lives
because Black
murals.
Lives does matter.
But yeah. You can't separate the two.
You can. You can.
Really?
Yeah. Black Lives Matter, we're not calling for violence. That is
what
not
are you,
true.
Out of your mind?
Show me.
What do you mean, show you?
Prove
I was
it.
In the middle of these demonstrations.
You were there watching some people.
Hawk Newsom, burn it down.
You said it yourself.
Excuse me.
They broke
Who is
off.
Hawk Newsom?
He's that guy who lives uptown.
He is the head
right.
of New York Black Lives Matter,
Hawk
and it's been
Newsom
so.
Is not avowed. He has been disavowed by the National Black Lives Matter movement.
Again, who
he
have
has
all,
been disavowed.
Who have all resigned their positions
right. but
because
guy,
now the IRS
was,
is going
was
after.
He was always considered a splinter, a breakoff. And by the way, he's been around New York City for a long time, long before the Black Lives
did
Matter
he,
movement.
Did he or did he not say, we're going to burn it down?
I have never heard him say that. You might have
well,
heard him say
you
that.
Out of your
you
mind?
Might have heard him say that, but Hawk Newsom
he
is not.
He said it on the network that
but
you
Hawk,
appear over
Hawk
and over again.
Hawk Newsom is not the Black Lives Matter movement. They have disavowed
Oh, they're peace, love, and happiness, right?
Yeah, they are.
It's a communist organization. All three of the women who
devised
it are communists.
It seems like
who was their inspiration? Assata Shakur, a.k.a. Joanne Chesmar, who led the way for cop killers, the Black Liberation
so
Army.
So, again, you're saying you don't like violence. How could you be part of a party that is now condoning violence? The DNC has never condoned violence.
How can you be supporting Democrats who were marching with Black Lives Matter, who were supporting Black Lives Matter, which looted, shooted, and destroyed urban America?
Again, you are conflating splinter groups who were disavowed by Democratic politicians. People who.
So how do you know these weren't splinter groups?
I don't know.
Proud
they
Boys,
I don't know.
Oath Keepers.
I don't know if they were splinter groups or not. That's why we have a commission trying to figure it out.
Okay.
But you know what I do know? I do know it was violent, and I do know that it should be condemned by everybody.
We can all agree that there were close to a million people in Washington, D.C.
There weren't close to a million people
well, how
in
many
Washington.
Would you say?
I would say maybe about 20,000 people.
You're out of your mind, 20,000.
20,000.
You see, you're not even being fair in terms of...
How many
of,
people do you think were at that
There were a
rally?
Million people.
There were not a million people.
Easily a million
nope,
people.
Nowhere close to a million
okay,
people.
Okay, so you're like Donald Trump now, right?
There were nowhere close to a million people. We're going to get that number. We're going to figure that out. We're gonna figure
but
out.
But you would agree the mass majority of people...
The mass majority of
were
them did
in
not,
no way, shape, or form going to the House of Representatives
right.
looking to sack the building.
Again... The RNC is not distinguishing between the people at the Stop the Steal rally and the people who went into the Capitol.
And the DNC.
And pepper sprayed cops, beat them with flags, led to the death of four people that day and many more since. They are not distinguishing from that.
The DNC is not distinguishing with Black Lives Matter.
They most certainly are. I have never seen a legitimate mainstream Democrat say anything other than they condemn violence.
Would you agree
violence?
That the leadership of Black Lives Matter is now on the run? The IRS is all over them. This is the Biden administration. IRS all over them. Because they stole hundreds of millions of dollars.
I don't know for sure, but I will say Come this. On. If that is true, they should run and the government should pursue it. Period. I'm against crime in all its forms.
Really?
I don't care who commits it.
I
will tell you this. People who are going to take up arms to try to stop an election from being certified... They are not Americans. And a party?
Well, who's going to determine? Who's going to determine this? The midterm elections are coming up.
Well, no, hold on. They are going.
Voters will determine. Is this the priority issue? Then you win. You win. But if it's not the priority issue, you lose.
Let me tell you what's going to happen in the midterms. The Republicans are going to take the House because of gerrymandering, and that's it, right? But the Senate is where the ball game's going to be. And they're not going to take the Senate.
If you lose the House, you would have had 2 years unfettered access to pass Biden agenda.
Let's be clear. You don't have 2 years unfettered access. The Senate still has a filibuster. It's not getting removed. It's going to be there forever. And frankly, you know, that's one of those false, misleading statements. Oh, they didn't get anything done. Plus, he got a lot done. A lot of jobs. Let's call him jobs.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling
you. All right. We got
He's
a lot.
He's doing so
this
well
is,
in the
we're
polls.
Just, we're
it's
just,
amazing.
We're
America
just
is mesmerized
just,
with Biden.
Are you on delay? We're just warming up. We'll be back. Chris Hogg, Curtis Sliwa.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Chris Hahn, Curtis Lee, we're back with you. I thought I was going to get some music.
Yeah, what happened to the music?
What happened to the music,
guys?
Guys
got to take your game up
here, man.
Rejoin music.
First, they got Curtis on listening to another show.
I'm telling you. They're not ready for primetime.
I don't know what's going on.
They're
over
not
there.
Ready for primetime.
I don't know what's going on here. Chris Hahn, Curtis Lee, we're back. By the way, we had a very vigorous debate in that first segment. Neither one of us pepper sprayed the other, which, you know, just want to make.
I didn't throw a spinning hook kick.
No. You didn't beat me up with a flag. We just had a conversation now, like two human beings.
Speaking of things that are tightened up.
Yes.
And go off magnificently. Mm. Olympic Games opening ceremonies. They're rehearsed over and over again.
Yep,
the host nation, the whole world is watching.
Yep. I did not watch the opening ceremonies. I have been watching curling and snowboarding, though. I watched a lot of snowboarding last night.
Well, that's because you're a stoner.
Curling.
You're a stoner. No. First of all, I don't know how the snowboarders pass the drug test because they get intensive drug tests. If you remember a while back, snowboarder, I believe from, I'm trying to remember, Vail, Colorado, American.
Yeah.
You know, long hair. Or he may have even been Canadian. Failed the marijuana test. And because he had long hair, he said, yo, I was in with other snowboarders. They were smoking blunts. And the secondary smoke, it got into my hair.
I don't know why they test them for marijuana anymore. It's legal now in most places. I mean, who cares?
Well, they test them for
but
a
panoply
of drugs.
But it's not performance enhancing. If anything, it slows you down. Right? So why are we testing for
especially
that?
Especially snowboarding.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, well, first of all, some of the things they're doing, you got to be a little off to do it. I mean, you see these guys on these snowboards doing these flips like 90 feet in the air. It's amazing to watch.
I love watching it.
It is. I really do.
But the opening ceremonies, highly choreographed. The whole world is watching. So whatever leader, whether democratically elected or totalitarian dictator, it's their show. I mean, this is their national pride. Talk about jingoism. Here it is.
Yes.
So President who? What's on second? I don't know on third. What is
Xi,
his name?
President Xi.
Xi.
Xi Jinping.
Right. So this was his mark. Look, they paid incredible amounts of money because you can't make money on Olympic Games any longer.
No.
So he paid incredible amounts of money. They had their opening games. He had just met.
Especially if you can't have crowds to buy tickets.
Right. So he just had met with Vladimir Putin, their summit.
Amazing.
Of how to screw Biden.
Yeah.
And in the opening moments when the delegations are marching, there's Putin way up in the nosebleed section by himself, nobody around him. And he conveniently falls asleep when the Ukrainian delegation is passing through.
He really is a...
That was choreographed
he
well.
He is one of those people that need to just, you know, time to go away, Vlad. You know, it's just time. I mean, it's the, you know, like even those little things, it just annoys me. He's just like a nudge. He's a nudge. I don't think you and I agree. I don't think he's going to invade Ukraine.
Well, no. He's going to be interviewed by Joe Rogan at some point. We'll be talking about that coming up. I mean, you know.
Well, that might be the only place you could get the Joe Rogan experience somewhere in Moscow after the next couple of days.
But back to the Olympic Games. Right. All kinds of problems with athletes and others who have COVID. So you know how the Red Chinese lock it down. You don't go anywhere.
No, they're really strict. You think you got problems here in New York? Can you imagine what's going on over there?
And if you're a journalist, heavens to Betsy, that you say something that your personal monitors, remember, each team of journalists has personal monitors assigned to them. As we saw, who is that? That Swede, that Norwegian, that guy from the Netherlands. The moment he was doing stand-up, they start wrestling him off.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane.
But these are the rules that are set by the host country.
How do we have an Olympics there? I mean, I get it. They're a huge economy. They're clearly, you know, a growing power on the world stage. But, you know, if you can't, you know, have freedom of press, freedom of movement, I don't know how you have Olympics there. I just don't know. I don't get it.
Because they paid for it, and they bribed all the judges.
And they did a great job with the Summer Games in 2008. They did.
Right. So if you do a job well once, you get it again. Now, for example, remember 1984. Talk about the Summer Games being culturally co-opted by Ronald Reagan, who took this song that became the theme song for America, Bruce Springsteen's.
Well, hold on a second. We'll listen to this song on the way out. We'll talk more about this on the other side. You're listening to Chris Hahn and Curtis Lee with the left versus the right.
It's the left versus the right. Debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
Chris Hahn, we're back on track here.
Yeah, we are. You know
there
this,
it is.
You know this song, man. This is
I will never forget. I was outside the L.A. Coliseum 1984. Peter Uberoff, the business guy,
yeah,
had actually made money on this Olympic Games, which was unheard of because usually countries would go into triple debt.
Now, let me ask you something. Were you there on patrol or were you doing the clean and jerk in the election?
No.
No.
On patrol because, remember, the L.A. Coliseum, in a rough area, South Central L.A., people don't realize. There were no problems there related to any kind of crime situations. The only problem was that in response to Jimmy Carter boycotting the Summer Olympic Games in
Moscow yeah,
in 1980 because of Brezhnev's invasion of Afghanistan. Gee, how ironic.
It's amazing.
He invaded and then ended up leaving within 9 years. But at that point, they then returned the favor. The Eastern bloc, so even like East Germany and other countries.
Only Romania came. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was a little kid, but I'm a big Olympics fan. I watch it. You know, I love it. I love sports. You know that. I love competition.
Was Kamenichi performing there on the high
Kamenichi bars? Was in 76, wasn't she?
It doesn't matter. No, 84. I mean, she was what, eight years old
no,
then?
No, 84 was Mary Lou Retton.
Oh, Mary Lou
Retton. Mary
Lou
Retton,
right.
Who's now doing commercials for like aging stuff. I'm like, oh my God, how old am I?
So the song of that summer was Bruce Springsteen, who hadn't yet totally exploded internationally.
This was the album that made him explode, yeah.
And then President Ronald Reagan culturally co-opted this song, because if you listen to the song, it's an anti-Vietnam War song.
Yeah, totally.
Suddenly said it is the new American national anthem.
Yeah.
Every moment he had, he identified himself with that.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen, although he said that's not the case, he really wasn't forceful, because let's face it, albums were selling, music was number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, jingoism ruled in the Olympics games. Carl Lewis won, what, like four gold medals?
He won
medals.
Like four, yeah.
We won like 1,852 medals.
We won all the medals. We won all the medals. It was like,
and America felt great.
Really, back then, it was like the U.S. versus Russia at the Olympics. And then when Russia wasn't there, we won them all.
We felt
in
great.
In 80, they won them all there, too.
We felt great. And at that particular point, if you remember, there was no overriding issue other than Reagan's election, which said we're gonna restore American patriotism, pride.
Yeah.
Once again, countries around the world are going to look at us.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost what Trump ended up taking a sort of Xerox copy.
Well,
from.
He actually used his slogan, Make America Great Again.
Yeah,
it was Reagan's slogan.
It was incredible. And let's face it, Olympic Games have always had a political tone to them. Probably the most infamous, 1936 Berlin.
Absolutely.
The showcase for Hitler and the Nazi Party.
Were you at that one? Were you competing or were you
patrolling? No, I was not on that.
You
I
were
only,
not there?
I only saw the black and white video of that.
Sure you weren't there, Curtis? I could have sworn I saw you on the second leg of that relay team. I'm just saying.
And it's the only time in American history.
Back then they ran in pants, full pants.
Where black athletes had it one advantage only, because they've always been second-class citizens. But to the Jewish athletes were not permitted to represent the United States. But
horrible.
Black athletes could.
Yeah.
And obviously they did extraordinarily
I didn't know
well.
That about the 1936 games, that Jewish. Were they worried that they were going to get hurt in Germany because of what was going on there? Or?
No, they didn't want to offend Adolf Hitler.
Amazing.
So the fact was you had some great Jewish American athletes who had preliminarily qualified for the United States Olympic team. And they were told, sorry, you can't participate.
Well, that's a great wrong that should have, this is the first I've ever heard it. And that's a great wrong in our society. That's horrible. That's a stain on our society.
In fact, this is before your time. One of the greatest broadcasters in history. Of NFL football, giant broadcaster, for the Knicks for a while.
Marv Albert?
No, the predecessor to Marv Albert. I'm going to leave you hanging here.
All right.
Because I know you.
Russ Salzburg?
No. I know you are going to be wondering, what the hell is he talking about?
Who are you talking about?
One of the greatest of all
time.
In
1936.
No, he was an athlete, Syracuse University.
Okay.
Obviously, a Jewish American from Brooklyn.
Okay.
And he was told, not your time, kid. I know you're qualified, but
oh man,
we're going to have to put you and some of the other Jewish American athletes on the show.
There was no Olympics in 1940 because of the war.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
or 44. So there was, a little, it sucked.
So you see, you still have, this is one of those issues where Americans on both sides either agree or disagree. I've seen equal number of Democrats say we shouldn't have participated. We should have boycotted, along with Republicans. And others who said, no. The athletes have spent their last four years in anonymity. Having to borrow money, because this is not like,
we're not like Russia. We don't pay our athletes.
Exactly.
Our amateur athletes.
So you think of it, and then you make that decision to yourself. Should we rob them and deprive them of an opportunity to compete? Because isn't this supposed to be above politics?
It's supposed to be above politics, and I would not rob them of the opportunity to compete. But then again, I don't think the United States has to make I think we did the right thing not sending a diplomatic delegation there, the First Lady or the Vice President, something like that. I think we made the right decision doing that. And I also think that you can't take this away from athletes. I actually know somebody, I won't mention him, but he would have been an athlete in 1980 games, and then he never got to compete in the Olympics. And it's a sad story, right? And you feel for those athletes, that those 1980 athletes that would have been great athletes and would have been known. Maybe would have won a medal and people would have known their names. Instead, they're living a life and never having been able to compete at that level, and it's sad.
You know, I think I'm the last of a dying breed, being a baby boomer, where I refer to mainland China as Red China. You almost never hear people say, oh, Red China. They say mainland China versus our China, Taiwan, that used to be a.k.a. Formosa.
Right.
So to me, it's always Red China. And in this very week.
But I don't know. Is that a good or a bad thing with you? You wear red every day.
Well,
you're like the Nancy Reagan of crime fighters.
It's the Asian Lunar New Year where the color red is predominant, and not because of the Red Chinese.
Year of the Tiger, by the way.
That's right. So for 12 days, they're giving envelopes back and forth to one another families. It's red envelopes with green in it.
Yeah.
Money for prosperity.
Yeah.
Capitalism versus socialism and communism. And speaking of capitalism, as these Beijing Winter Olympic Games have taken place, there was the Zuck. He was having to describe
Meta,
the greatest fall in the lifetime, I think, of Wall Street. Facebook, which became Meta World Peace, Ron Artest.
Right, Ron Artest. The great St. John's alum.
With anger management issues.
How did we not win with Ron? I'm a St. John's alumni as well. I was there when Ron Artest was on that team. How did we not go?
One of the greatest moments is when the LA Lakers win the World Championship and they're interviewing Ron Artest, a.k.a. World Meta Peace, and he thanks his shrink, his psychiatrist. He says, without my psychiatrist, this never could have happened.
Yeah, well, he was beating up fans.
I mean, it's great. It's great. But what
happened? Every game with Ron Artest, when he was still Ron Artest and he had those anger management issues, reminded me of a patrol of the Guardian Angels.
Yeah, well,
so it could have ended in bikes being thrown at people's heads at any time.
Exactly, because he grew up in America's largest public housing project. It's called Queensbridge.
Yep.
And he always had a reputation, going back to elementary school, high school, college, St. John's, of anger management issues. But speaking of anger management issues, he was cool, calm, and collected on his phone call to all the investors. The Zuck said, Facebook, Instagram, crashing and burning because of the Red Chinese TikTok. The Red Chinese have done us in on the very week that they were showcasing the power, the might, and the economic ability.
Yeah.
Of who's that president and who, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Xi Jinping. Ping.
Well, what happened? He's blaming it all on TikTok. He's saying a whole new generation. They don't want to go to Facebook. That's for baby boomers to find out what you had at Denny's that morning, a grand slam.
Yeah.
They're not going to Instagram. They're not going to WhatsApp. What they're going to is TikTok.
I don't get TikTok. I don't have it. I know you have it because you have a millennial or a Gen Z wife who probably set it up for you.
No,
you did it yourself.
I'll explain that. When I was running for mayor, all politicians, it doesn't matter who they are, Democrats, Republicans, would never use TikTok because they would say, oh, that's the Red Chinese. We don't want them to infiltrate our political process. I said, what the hell are you talking about? This is a geopolitical, global economy.
Right, and it's based here in the United States, the app you're using.
Right, and it's teenagers. Teenagers flock to this.
They preteens.
Oh, I mean, it's incredible. So I'm running for mayor. It's hard getting traction against a Democrat, any Democrat in New York City. And a 19-year-old kid named Luca in Riverdale, who probably have never even left the house.
Right.
He sets up a page on his own. Curtis Lee for mayor. He has all these extraordinary videos that he's cut up because you have to do it in small segments.
So he's the one on TikTok for you, not you.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. And I didn't think you did it.
Well, I got to tell you, he took videos that had already existed. He chopped them up because you have to. It's got to be less than a minute. And he did such a magnificent job. I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. I'm getting calls. She's speaking Romania all over the world. Oh, this is great stuff. TikTok.
Did Xi Jinping notice and call you?
No, I don't think so. I think he was a little busy at that point.
The red jacket.
You know, repressing Hong Kong. They were busy at that point. But no, TikTok has blown up so much. It is doing so well with this new generation. And that I think that Zuck realized our time may have passed. The generation that we catered to. It's no longer going to determine the social networking patterns of the world.
Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, I think it's look, Facebook seems to me to rise and fall, but it's always there, right? Everybody kind of has a Facebook page.
I like the way you said Facebook rises and falls. I'm falling and I can't get up.
Well, that's probably the problem, right? It's a bunch of, you know, my mother's on Facebook. I don't like being on social media platforms where my mom is on it, you know? But people, everybody has a Facebook page. We all have one.
Yeah, but
I don't look at it as much anymore.
Not young people.
Oh. No.
To them, it's like AM radio, right? AM, you say to a teenager, AM, they say, oh, that's the time I'm forced to get up in the morning to go to school, if they have school, if it isn't virtual. FM, you know, freaking morons, feeble-minded, fornicating madly.
No, they only know podcasts.
Podcast. Oh, that means in the next hour we have to talk about your man.
My man.
Joe Rogan, you defended him last week.
Did I defend him?
You went to the map. Oh, yeah. Because I was defending my generation, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Well, I am for Crosby. Look, I'm for free speech, although I'm not for people saying the N-word.
Yeah, but
you know, I think he may have gone a bridge too far in the last couple
of weeks. We're going to have to bisect and dissect his handling of this matter, the twofold, because I think his biggest mistake was when he came back after being away a week, he said, if I pissed you off, I'm sorry. Mm. And I think you know the cardinal rule when, whether you're on podcast, talk radio, talk TV, is that unless, you know, the guillotine is hanging over your head.
Right.
You never, ever say, I'm sorry.
You know, I think what the problem with most corporate PR types is they forget in this new era, no story lasts more than 2 weeks. And by apologizing a couple of days later, you've extended the story now. The story now will go another 2 weeks and people will keep picking at it. And the more they picked at Joe Rogan, the more they found. And that's his biggest problem. He allowed the story to be extended. They found something else, and what they found was worse than what they had.
We'll get into an extended conversation on that. But speaking of stories that come full circle, the love fest that existed between Zucker at CNN, his gal pal that went up the ranks with him,
right?
Andrew Cuomo, who she had been the creative consultant to for about 6 months in his administration. It had become, under Zucker, the Cuomo National Network, having replaced the acronym Clinton National Network. It was all Cuomo all the time. We're now finding out, based on Chris Cuomo just nudging, saying, give me $18 million, I walk away, I take the coat of Omerta, Fredo knows nothing, just give me my scatter.
Give me my money.
And for some reason, Zucker was saying, no, 1,000 times no. I rolled over for you Cuomo boys time and time again.
Right.
I can't do it. ATT is breathing down my neck. So Cuomo goes around Zucker, his lifelong friend, and he goes to AT&T and goes, guess what I got here? A little dossier here.
There we go. Something everybody knows anyway.
You got rules and regulations you applied to me when you sacked me.
Right.
Do as I say, not as I do. Hey, Zucker is doing exactly the same thing. Zucker gets sacked, but the woman remains. Now, how do you bifurcate that?
Well, he was in a superior position. They fired her. If they fire her for that, it's a bigger problem. That $18 million is going to look like
penance. How about both?
Well, hold on a minute. He was her superior. The problem
barely.
But he was her superior. He was the president of the network. She was not. So everybody there is a subordinate to him. So there is a problem with a superior officer having sex with a subordinate, period. End of discussion. If they fire her for his transgressions, They're in for a lawsuit that will make that $18 million look like pittance.
So let's just say.
It's a $100 million lawsuit waiting to happen.
The Team Cuomo's.
And by the way, I'll take that lawsuit if you want to call me. I forgot your name already. But and they never really like booking former Fox people at CNN anyway. But if she wants to call me, I'll take that lawsuit.
Now, Team Cuomo, which is looking to settle all scores amongst foes and friends, you have to understand, not far from where you live, there is a Chris Cuomo, a.k.a. Fredo compound in Southampton.
Yes, it's about 60 miles from here.
Andrew Cuomo is living out there.
He is.
He came in for a two-hour meeting with the new mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, at a high-profile Italian restaurant in the Theater District.
It wasn't Ilio's, was it?
No, it was not Ilio's.
Okay, was it Rao's?
That's in East Harlem.
Okay, got it.
So two-hour sit-down, very public, not, you know, under the radar screen. And there's no doubt in my mind, because I've known Cuomo like you know Schumer. You worked for Schumer, so you know,
yeah.
You know a lot of the things about how Schumer operates.
Yep.
I grew up with the Cuomos. Mario Cuomo, his father, was the first big-time supporter of the Guardian Angels. I had supported him in running for governor against Ed Koch. I got to meet all the family members, and then I had a falling out with them. You know, it's the love-hate relationship.
Well, it's you. You know, I know how you got. I know
of course.
You got tired of you, right?
Of course.
It was like you asked for too much.
But.
Like, come on, just put on the beret. Just put on a beret.
The Cuomos, it's always a scene. It's Godfather-esque. They're settling all scores. And they settled all scores, number one, with Zucker, because the understanding out there is this guy was the head of CNN.
Yeah.
We took him out. We're coming for you next.
We're coming for you. All right, we'll settle some more scores.
He's going to run for Attorney General in New York State.
You and I got to talk about that. I don't agree, but we'll talk about it. On the other side of the break, Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you till 5.
It's the left versus the right. It's the left versus the right. In the right corner, it's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, Christopher Hahn. Heavyweight slugfest.
Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you. Hey, you know, we're going to do the about face of the week coming up at the top of the next hour.
Well, remember, the pirouette last week, same time, same place, was Tom Brady.
Yeah, man.
And I've already figured out, since he finally threw in the Brady Bunch paraphernalia.
Yes, he's done.
He's down in Miami, Billionaire's Island, with Giselle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Bunchin', or whatever her name is. I know who's replacing Tom Brady.
Who?
I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you.
You're going to tell me later on after the flip-flop of the week or the about face
of
the week.
Yeah, but it is so typical of Roger Goodell and the NFL, who, by the way, are having visits from Al Slim Shady Sharpton. No justice, no peace. Hey, our guy Flores, you got to make him whole. You got to buy him off, pay him off. He's Kaepernick, round two.
I think they're going to give this guy a coaching job, and I think they're going to pay him. Frankly, looking at his case, I think he does have a case. But I do think he's also a guy who's probably a good enough coach that somebody should pick him up now.
And by the way, your guy, I noticed you have your throwback San Francisco 49er Kaepernick jersey there.
Yeah.
Spike Lee doing his documentary on ESPN.
I got to tell you, I love almost everything.
You think that's going to be a balanced documentary?
I like almost everything Spike Lee has ever done. I love his work.
Almost everything. Is there an exception to the normal rule there?
No, I mean, I'm sure there's one movie I didn't enjoy. I mean, I like him. I'll tell you what, his cousin, Malcolm Ely, made one of my favorite movies of all time, Undercover Brother.
Oh, and then we got to talk about the Queen. The Queen is alive. Oh, wait a second. Is that Queen Camilla or
Queen Elizabeth? Queen Elizabeth is allowing Camilla Parker Bowles to go as Queen Consort. After her son becomes,
isn't that a prostitute?
No, no, it's just somebody you sleep with, I think. And I don't know, they're kind of a little old to be knocking boots, don't you think? I mean, they're older
than you.
They're
deadbeats. They're like welfare in their 80s. Cheats. The world's biggest welfare cheats.
Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa, the about face coming up on the other side of the break.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn, heavyweight slugfest.
Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you. Hey, you know, we're going to do the about face of the week coming up at the top of the next hour.
Well, remember, the pirouette last week, same time, same place, was Tom Brady.
Yeah, man.
And I've already figured out, since he finally threw in the Brady Bunch paraphernalia.
Yes, he's done.
He's down in Miami, Billionaire's Island, with Giselle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Bunchin', or whatever her name is. I know who's replacing Tom Brady.
Who?
I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you.
You're going to tell me later on after the flip-flop of the week or the about phase
of the week. Yeah, but it is so typical of Roger Goodell and the NFL, who, by the way, are having visits from Al Slim Shady Sharpton. No justice, no peace. Hey, our guy Flores, you got to make him whole. You got to buy him off, pay him off. He's Kaepernick, round two.
I think they're going to give this guy a coaching job, and I think they're going to pay him. Frankly, looking at his case, I think he does have a case. But I do think he's also a guy who's probably a good enough coach that somebody should pick him up now.
And by the way, your guy, I noticed you have that throwback San Francisco 49er Kaepernick jersey there.
Yeah.
Spike Lee doing his documentary on ESPN.
I got to tell you, I love almost everything.
You think that's going to be a balanced documentary?
I like almost everything Spike Lee has ever done. I love his work.
Almost everything. Is there an exception to the normal rule there?
No, I mean, I'm sure there's one movie I didn't enjoy. I mean, I like him. I'll tell you what, his cousin, Malcolm Ealy, made one of my favorite movies of all time, Undercover Brother.
Oh, and then we got to talk about the Queen. The Queen is alive. Oh, wait a second. Is that Queen Camilla or
Queen Elizabeth? Queen Elizabeth is allowing Camilla Parker Bowles to go as Queen Consort. After her son becomes,
isn't that a prostitute?
No, no, it's just somebody you sleep with, I think. And I don't know, they're kind of a little old to be knocking boots, don't you think? I mean, they're older
than
you.
They're deadbeats. They're like welfare in their 80s. Cheats. The world's biggest welfare cheats.
Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa, the About Face coming up on the other side of the break.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn. It's the left versus the right.
Right, left, right, left, right, left. About face.
You see, Chris Hahn on the left would be turning left, and I would be turning right.
Right.
Because Chris Hahn, whenever you see him nationally on the Fox News channel and other entities, is generally defending the left, although at times you break from the ranks.
Yeah, I'm not a hack. I don't work for anybody anymore, so, you know, I give my opinion, whatever
and
that opinion is.
Yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, who at times has been vilified by my own Republicans and called a rhino, and I might add to everybody out there, Republican in name only, a rhinoceros is the most feared animal.
Absolutely.
In the jungle.
And sometimes I'm called a dino.
Does anybody
a dinosaur? You want to call me a dinosaur?
Does anybody mess with a rhino when they go into the water hole?
Not me, man.
Not the lions.
No.
Not the tigers.
No.
The bears.
It's like a dinosaur that's still alive, basically. That's what it looks like.
Coming off of our previous discussion about the whole January 6th, there have been developments here that has earned a certain person.
Yes.
The prize of the Curtis and Chris, the Sliwa and Hahn show, left versus right.
Yes.
And I'm giving you the props this week to pick the winner of the flip-flop?
I think we're calling it the About Face of the Week until we come up with a better name for it. Which, you know, if
I
you
like
have a better
flip-flop.
Name, you tweet
like
me, at Christopher Hahn, and we'll put a different one out.
And who is our winner this week?
The award goes to former Vice President Mike Pence, and I think we all know why. I mean, a couple of months ago, Mike Pence said this.
It's the greatest honor of my life to be your vice president, and I'm going to work my heart out to be your vice president for four more years. And I'm absolutely convinced that if all of us do all that we need to do.
Now, that's him talking to Donald Trump, saying it's the greatest honor of his life to be working with Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah,
that
blah.
Was his wife next to him at that time? Remember,
mother was next to him.
Women are not permitted to be in the presence of a former Vice President Pence without his wife being there.
It is the oddest thing in the world.
No, it's a good protective advice. Can you imagine if that would have been the rule in the Clinton household with Bill and Hillary?
Or at CNN.
Maybe. That's right.
It might have helped the guy still have a job over
good
there.
Point.
Right?
Good point.
I think it would have been okay. But now Mike Pence says this about his former boss.
I heard this week that President Trump said I had the right to overturn the election. But President Trump is wrong. I had no right to overturn the election. The presidency belongs to the American people and the American people alone. And frankly, there is no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could choose the American president.
Now, he's absolutely right in that statement, what he said, but it is a huge departure from who he was even just a couple of months ago, praising Donald Trump, even he's done with the Republican Party right now, right? He can't.
You know why Pence did a pirouette now. And it wasn't because he felt patriotic duty to do so. Because as you had mentioned, he had many months.
Yeah.
Many years, really. A year.
Basically kneeling before Zod.
But
right.
I think it was calculated. We know he is interested in running for the nomination.
Yep.
The Pence supporters, it isn't an overwhelming number of Republicans, but probably in Indiana, people that he grew up and was raised politically with, have said Trump might implode. He just might implode. Or maybe some of these investigations that involve civil and criminal charges will finally manifest themselves.
Right.
You got to be ready. And you can't be the guy who went down with the SS Trump. You got to be the person who says, I stood up and said you were wrong. Now, it's a calculated political risk, but he has no other choice.
He's got nowhere else to go. Right. You're right. You're absolutely right there. Because right now, if the Trump wing of the Republican Party survives, there's no way Mike Pence has a future in it. But if they do implode, he's already out in front of that implosion. And there are other people waiting to get in line.
As Trump himself will tell you, the reason that I chose Pence and not Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, was central casting Pence.
Yeah, yeah.
Pence looks presidential.
He looks vice presidential, whatever that looks like.
If he had to be president, right, you would look at him and you would say, yeah, he looks like an American president should look.
He also needed that evangelical support that Pence brought with him, right? He you know, having Pence by his side, especially when that Access Hollywood tape broke.
Yes.
That was a very good thing to have at that point in time. It kept the evangelicals with Trump where they could have ran away at that point.
Right. So if you're posturing, as everybody is now, Pastor DeSantis is posturing, Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie is posturing. We don't know if he's friend or foe from one day to the next.
He's trying to walk a tightrope, and to watch a guy that size walk a tightrope is kind of fun to watch.
But I think you're going to see Pence go on a tour and follow his evangelical roots. Remember, he wasn't birthed an evangelical. He became an evangelical when he met his wife.
Yeah.
And then he married her, and he basically converted to becoming a full-blown evangelical. I think you're going to see him make the rounds in which he does this soul-searching and say, now, look, I understand politically why some of the pastors and some of the religious leaders cast their lot with Donald Trump.
Right.
I was on the ticket at the time. I spoke to many of you. But so much damage has been done. And he'll compare it. He'll say Biden's son, Donald Trump. Look, they had a hangman's noose outside.
Right.
They wanted to hang me, guys.
Right.
And yet, I have decided that right must triumph over wrong. Look, that may be a persuasive message to some.
Well, it might help him get a nomination, but I doubt that a Republican who is not supported by Trump in 2024 would have any opportunity to be president of the United States. And that sucks for Republicans because Donald Trump is not running for president of the United States.
Yeah, but,
and he's going to say he's not running because he says that he's going to say they didn't do enough to fix the election for
look
me.
Look throughout history, coming off the greatest civil rights president of all time, a racist in his own personal life, LBJ.
Yeah.
I mean, responsible for signing all the legislation that had been prepared by the Kennedy administration.
Got it all through the Senate.
Right. He's loved social welfare, loved Vietnam War, and all of a sudden he decides, I'm not running. This guy, come clean with Gene, is going to clean my clock. I'm not going to be embarrassed.
Right.
And he also had some physical problems that we found out later.
He died a couple years later.
Right. But we knew he had some serious. And all of a sudden he unexpectedly pulls out of the race with such a plurality of pluses and favors. So you just never know. And I think his strategist, his wife, is saying to him, what do you got to lose, Mike? You can go back to being a talk radio show host in Indiana.
A boring one, but yeah, you can go back to doing that. No, so, he's no Curtis Sliwa.
Are we in solidarity on this?
Yeah, I think so. I think we should be going for those markets that have had Mike Pence at one point, because quite frankly, they're going to need somebody to keep
people
awake.
And not only that, I like a guy who can stand there in the middle of the debate while a fly is positioned on his VO5 sprayed head.
So much hairspray, he didn't even feel that huge fly.
He didn't try to swat it.
He didn't even know it was there. I'm telling you, there was a whole shellacking of hairspray on top of his head.
But it will be.
You and I don't have that problem.
It will be his memorable moment.
Yeah, he's a fly in the ointment of the Republican Party right now. I'll tell you that right now.
And just a quick litmus test. You know, DeSantis is sort of like on the fringe, right?
Yeah.
You know he wants to run.
Yeah. I don't think he's getting reelected in Florida to be governor. But
really?
Yeah, I think he's going to lose.
Well, you know, I'm going to be in Florida for a few days. I have some campaign
obligations. What are you doing?
You're
looking at retirement communities?
No. I approve. Don't move. I'm a New York guy.
There you go.
I've got to raise some money to pay off some of the campaign debts from the mayoral election. So I'll be down in Florida for a few days. I will be able by next week. To take
you're going
the temperature.
This week.
Yeah, this week, the middle of the week. Only a few days.
You're missing a great week in New York. It's going to be in the 40s and sunny, and you're going to go down to Florida. I like 40s and sunny. That, to me, is like the best weather in the world. I ran today on the beach.
It's
man.
Fine. I'll be able to report to you why there's this mass exodus from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut.
Could it have something to do with the fact that it was 12 degrees this morning when we woke up? I don't know. I think this is the time of year people decide to relocate.
Because New York City is a ghost town. It is empty.
There were a lot of people on the street today. I did find a parking spot, and I have.
That's the barometer. That's the litmus test. Under normal circumstances, there's no way you could have found a legal parking space in the streets of New York City.
Well, on Sunday, you could find spots.
Never.
Parking is like sex. If you look hard enough for one, you'll find one, okay? You don't have to pay for it. Just keep looking. You'll find it, okay? That's a Jerry Seinfeld joke, not a Chris Hahn joke.
Now, speaking of Joe Biden,
yeah,
desperate to latch
Jobs
on.
Biden, I'm calling him now. I'm not calling him by his, I'm not calling him Joe Biden anymore. I'm calling him Jobs Biden because he's created more jobs than any other president.
Okay, all right.
Jobs report this month, 500,000 plus. They upgraded the jobs report from December, which, you know, looked like a miserable jobs report. Turns out it was one of the best jobs reports ever.
You keep thinking that, Chris. You keep thinking that, Chris.
I know it. It's
the
stats.
Number one problem right now, and that can change, is clearly two. It's like neck and neck, inflation and crime.
Inflation's a huge problem.
Right. Now, that can potentially be dealt with.
Crime is not a real problem for most Americans. It's a perception problem, and if things are bad and people are like, oh, God, you know, milk costs a dollar more a gallon and gas has doubled in price, they'll believe the Republican hype about
rural,
crime.
Rural, suburban, urban.
Most American voters are not experiencing
Chris,
crime.
Do not use the term perception. It is no longer in the vocabulary of Mayor Eric Adams. You remember in the aftermath when the 40-year-old Asian woman was pushed in front of a train in the subway by the emotionally disturbed guy who I had spoken to two times prior to
that. You had spoken to that emotionally disturbed guy?
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm always talking to emotionally disturbed people. I have an affinity
right
for
now.
Exactly.
It's like, this is why we get along so well.
But remember the day after, Eric Adams said, you know, there's only a perception of crime and that the subways are unsafe. Look at the stats. Look at the analytics. He got such incredible blowback, including from his number one supporter, his brother that he wants to be the head of his security detail to protect him from white supremacists. That 2 days later, you talk about a flip. Too bad we didn't have that going. He went from look at the analytics, too. Even I'm afraid when I go in the subway.
Well, you know, we still need a sponsor for that that flip-flop of the week, about face of the week. So maybe, you know.
International IHOP, right?
No, maybe.
House of Pancakes.
Yeah, or we could maybe get, who makes those saltine crackers? We could get those going.
That's right, because he was calling old white cops that he had worked with originally over 22 years in the police department at a meeting that he had right before he announced he was running for mayoralty. Crackers. And it went viral. It was dropped. And then all of a sudden, he was on the defensive. You know, there was no response right away because, you know, Team Adams had to get together and see. First of all, you know what they're saying, right? Are there any other tapes like this? Eric, look, we're going to
have to. Who else did you call a cracker?
Right. Well, we're going to have to do negative research.
Are we going to find a conversation you had when you're talking about Curtis Lee as
exactly.
your opponent? What is that crazy cracker going to do here?
No, he called me a racist. But
he might have called you a cracker, too.
I
mean, you are pastely white, so you kind of look. You do resemble a saltine.
Well, he used the term cracker, which many people would say is the equivalent of the N-bomb. So why don't we do this?
It's not the equivalent. Look, nobody got whipped while being forced into labor and were called a cracker.
Well, we'll discuss that when we come back. Because you got cracker versus the N-bomb, and now Joe Rogan.
Oh, lots to talk about. Curtis, Chris, we'll be back.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Chris Hahn. Last week, same time, same place, Joe Rogan was the hero of free speech.
Yeah.
Every man, woman, and child was coming to his defense, whether they liked him or didn't like him, against my peeps, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Hey, I am for Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young exercising their speech any way they want. If that means pulling their songs from Spotify, that's their exercise
I know,
but of free speech.
You, like Mo said, hey, look, Depends Group. You know, go back to your concert.
No. I enjoy Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, although I did see a Neil Young concert that was not fun. Okay, it wasn't good.
All right.
He was fine. He sounded fine. He just didn't play anything I knew.
So he had been off for whatever reason that week. He came back on Friday. And in his first program back, he said, if I pissed you off, I'm sorry. This is after the CEO of Spotify said, look, we're going to put a tag on some of his podcasts that is misinformation here. Misinformation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like a warning label.
Yeah.
When you, as a broadcaster, you have popular public opinion on your side. He was not down for the count. In fact, if anything, his brand was accelerating because he was the poster
boy for
free
speech. People were talking
about
him. They were talking about him all week. People who didn't know him were talking about him.
But for some reason, whether it was him and him alone or management team or maybe in tandem with the group that's given him $100 million, Spotify.
$100 million a year.
Right. Yeah. He decided to say, if I pissed you off, I'm sorry. When you do that, in essence, you're taking a knee. Not to everything, but you're taking a knee. You're acknowledging some of this. And I'm sure he felt this too would pass.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'll be even more popular than before because I'm acknowledging I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. I'm just allowing this microphone to be used by many. You make up your own point of view. Then this week, all of a sudden, somebody sent out a tape of Joe Rogan, not photoshopped, not altered, but Joe Rogan, pure in his many previous podcasts, dropping the N-bomb.
Tons of times. Multiple times.
Now, I got to ask you, this is a very popular guy. This is a guy who people have subscribed to, maybe for the first time on Spotify, and they say, oh, I like this guy. So you know what happens. It's like Netflix.
Yeah.
You see something, I like this. And then you binge watch,
yep,
you know, all the previous episodes so you can catch up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure there were people who were binge listening Joe Rogan and say, and heard the N-bomb being dropped and didn't think twice about it. There were no complaints. Remember, he had alienated AOC all out crazy in terms of siding with, at that time, Bernie. He was a Bernie bro. And remember, AOC said, Bernie, it's us, meaning the women who support you, or it's Joe Rogan. And Bernie couldn't make up his mind.
Right, right, right.
This is right in the middle of the Democratic primary.
Bernie's like, this guy keeps saying good things about me.
Kind of
like
that,
Trump.
He's got quite a following.
Yeah.
I need it because Biden is going to win South Carolina. I need this.
Right, right.
So tactically, for whatever reason, it ended. Somebody put together this loop, this one person, this aggrieved person. I forget her name.
Indie, something. It's indie. It's I don't know. She's an artist herself.
Well, she'll now be a person of consequence because she's.
Well, she was a person of consequence. I'm just forgetting her name.
Right, but she put the loop out there, and he came up with a series of explanations. And I got to ask you, because you're the mighty whitey, I'm the Caucasian persuasion. There is this theory that if you're white, even if you're Slim Shady there at 8 Mile.
There's some things you can't say, and he said it, and he's in trouble now. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the next break. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa.
It's the left versus the right debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
All right. We're back. We're still talking about, should we stay or should we go, Curtis? I gotta know. Should Joe Rogan stay or should he go?
Well, of course he's going to dig in. He came up with all kinds of reasons why he had used the N-word through many episodes that we were unaware of. I think most people were.
Right.
And he said is to use it in context to explain how comedians would use it, others would use it, but not that it was heartfelt, that, you know, that was his opinion.
Right.
Does that stick? Does he survive?
I gotta go back and look at the tapes, but I don't think he survives. Now, the problem for him, you know, most podcasts are on a million different channels, right? He made a deal a couple years ago, got paid an astronomical amount of money for a podcast, but it's only on one place. It's only on Spotify, and he's probably got a term of years where it can only be on Spotify. Spotify's in a pickle right now. They're probably going to get a lot of pressure to take him off, not just from, you know, artists from the 60s, but Indiari's an artist from today, and you're going to start seeing other people really complaining about this and boycotting.
As an example, the two performers for the halftime show of the upcoming Super Bowl, Dr. Trey, Snoop Dogg, drop the N-bomb like there's no tomorrow. I see them actually defending him.
I haven't seen him defend them yet.
Because, A, number one, he likes to smoke blunts when he does his podcast. You saw that with Elon Musk and his stock plummeted from that. I could easily see him because he's a bro kind of guy, meaning, you know, Bernie bro. He's a macho kind of guy. I could easily see Snoop and Dr. Dre saying, yo, that's our kind of white boy. We need to come to this guy's defense.
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to get that kind of defense. We'll see. This is going
to
be a tough week.
Well, I'm trying to think of any white guy or white gal who has ever survived dropping the N-bomb. Look.
I can't think of one.
You were a Seinfeld fanatic, right?
Yes.
You probably can repeat lip sync to words.
I know the lines to every show backwards and forward. The funny thing is it's on Netflix now, but I still want to watch it on Channel 11 at 11 o'clock.
My wife, who I yet to know how old she is, she keeps saying, you got to watch Seinfeld.
You never watched it?
No, on occasion, I'll watch an episode or two, and she's
right. Oh, you would love it. It's a New York City
show.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I like the last episode where, remember, the plane malfunctions.
Yeah.
They drop in Maine, you know, and then because they witnessed the crime and they did not stop the crime, they get arrested.
And they're laughing at the woman getting mugged.
Right. Yeah, so you understand that. Yeah, you should get locked up. But I'm thinking one of their cast characters, Michael Richards. Remember, he's doing stand-up.
Yep.
I mean, he's packing clubs because he's a Seinfeld guy, and he's funny.
And he wasn't a stand-up, though.
Right, but he's funny. Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he drops the N-bomb, getting into an argument with the audience. Where in Def Jam, if you were getting into an argument with the audience and you were a black guy or a black gal, a Gatling gun of N's.
Look, you're not allowed to do it if you're a white guy, period. You're not allowed to drop it. It's just not. It's not something you do in this country or anywhere else, frankly, and there's going to be consequences for it. He's probably going to lose his show.
Wow. So you're predicting the end of Joe Rogan as we know him now.
At least with Spotify, at least for now. Yeah. I think, you know, look, he was already under attack. Spotify was starting to lose, you know, sponsors. They were starting to lose artists. They were starting to lose subscriptions over this. It all comes down to the bottom line here. Right. And I think ultimately there's going to be too much fallout. We'll see what happens this week. But I don't see him survive.
So they were warriors for free speech initially. You know, the CEO of Spotify. Oh, no, we defend free speech. This form of free speech.
You're not allowed to say it.
You're on your own.
No, you know, we're for free speech. We're not for racist speech.
Now, it'd be interesting if they do part ways. The guy was getting paid $100 million. You know, he's going to want a settlement.
He's going to get a settlement more than likely because some of this stuff happened before he was on Spotify. You would have thought they would have listened to his shows before they brought him on, not just looked at his subscription numbers.
Now, what happens if, in fact, a brother throws him a lifeline like Meta World Peace, Ron Artest? You know, he offered the Zuck. He said, hey, thank you for naming, you know, Facebook after me, Meta. But somebody like that, if a series of high-profile black men and women who are considered very liberal, very progressive, decide to throw him a lifeline. Because you know they have to be negotiating behind the scenes to try to get them to appear on his show. He does a mea culpa. He does the apologies. But they give him dispensation.
I don't know how you give him dispensation. Right?
I'll tell you how.
How do you do it?
Al Slim Shady Sharpton, who is going up to Roger Goodell right now on behalf of Flores. Because, you know, he's looking to do a shakeout.
He's going to be in California next week.
How about a civil rights boot camp for Joe Rogan? And the commandante is Al Slim Shady Sharpton. Now, you know, he doesn't do anything unless there's money attached to it. With a guy with the prominence of Al Sharpton sort of taking Joe Rogan under his wing and saying, look, like a lot of white people, he's made mistakes. But, you know, in the civil rights boot camp, you know, he can have a new calling. This is a guy that will have Al Slim Shady Sharpton on once a week.
I don't think it's going to happen. but that might help him.
I mean, extrapolate this.
Look, you make a good point. Maybe he could get some dispensation from him or maybe a Michael Eric Dyson or President Obama, but I don't see that happening. I really don't. I think that.
But if it did.
The problem for him is it's a two-part scandal. First, he was having the problem bringing on all these misinformation people with the virus, which nobody likes. And now,
well, now
it's
wait a second.
This.
You're saying nobody likes. There's a whole group. Nobody loves this now.
Not all of Canada. A couple of truckers who are willing to stay out.
Oh, excuse me,
and
Trudeau. Right. Yeah. You're homophobic. You're racist. Yeah. Come on. That's nothing to do with
it. Well, they are flying the Nazi flag while they're doing this. So
yeah,
just,
I know.
That's
always
They're peeing on statues. They are taking meals from homeless shelters.
Oh, my God.
They're doing some crazy stuff here. My dad was a truck driver. And, you know, I think he would have just taken the shot rather than wait in line. Well, my dad did take the shot. So, I don't see it happening for him. Two-part scandal, two things that corporations don't want. They don't, you know, that other one he could have gotten through. I was like, look, I don't agree with those people, what they're saying, but I'm a free speech guy. This is racist speech. That's different than free speech. And frankly, I don't see him surviving it. It's just too much of a risk for the corporation.
As his own entity, though. Free of Spotify with all the different platforms that exist now. You can look, Trump is creating his own platform.
You don't even need a platform for a podcast, right? There's a million different places you could put a podcast on. The problem for him is probably that he has a contract with Spotify that won't allow him to go to other places.
But they have to pay off on that.
Maybe. I don't know what his ethics clause is in his contract.
Well, you're the lawyer here. You're Mr. Esquire.
I'd want to see his contract. To know what he can do. He might have a morals clause.
All right. So just as...
He might be violating his moral clause.
There's some similarities here with Cuomo versus Zucker, because obviously Cuomo wanted a complete payout. You owe me $18 million, even if I never did another...
There's a lot more than $18 million going here. Yeah.
And Zucker on behalf of AT&T, because I think if it was up to Zucker, he would have just paid him off, because he knows what Cuomo knew. But apparently AT&T say, no, you don't settle with this guy. Nobody shakes down AT&T.
Right, right.
Remember that scene in The Godfather, AT&T?
By the way, AT&T is selling CNN to Discovery. So, you know.
I know, but remember in that famous scene in The Godfather when Michael is there for the New Year's celebration and the AT&T representative gives the all-gold phone to Batista before he flees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Present from AT&T. Nobody shakes down AT&T. But he did.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's going to get a payout. Maybe not $18 million. He'll get $9 million.
He'll get something.
So if you were advised...
By the way, he should get something, because quite frankly, they didn't fire him for the reasons they said they fired him for.
That's
they
true.
Fired him because of his ratings. His ratings went down because women stopped watching the show because of what his brother did. And that's why they fired him. Nobody gets fired for protecting their brother. I have a brother. Or I had a brother. He died. I protected him all the time. Sorry. I defended him. And he sometimes was doing things he shouldn't be defended for, but I would defend him.
Well, you know, it's similar because when Don Imus had the problem with the Scarlet Knights Rutgers, Don Imus and his producer, Bernard McGurk, WFAN, the all sports station, always wanted to just do all sports.
Right. They were tired of him.
And even though Imus was generating a lot of money, and believe me, I know because I was studying it because I knew if he leaves the fan, he's coming over to WABC.
And you were losing your morning show.
He's taking over for me and Kubi. I remember saying to Kubi, I've looked at the analytics. He's got better demos than us, and he raises far more money from advertisers. We're dead. Oh, no, we're not. We've been guaranteed. There's no such thing as a guarantee.
Right.
So in that particular case, he survived. He came back a year later. He had to go on sabbatical for a year. But he came back a year later to WABC and then was on the Fox Business Channel, so he had the simulcast.
He never was the same, though. I mean, he never made the kind of revenue, never had the audience, never had it again.
And that wasn't even over the
end. I mean, he was really done anyway. He should have been done then. I mean, quite frankly, WFAN got rid of him for reasons other than what he said. What he said wasn't cool, but they got rid of him for other reasons. His ratings were down.
But remember...
He cost a lot of money and made a lot of money.
Who threw him a lifeline? And that's why I'm saying expect Al Slim Sharp.
Yeah.
No, Sharpton invited him to his radio show that nobody listens to. It's a placebo radio show.
Right, right, right.
And he had Imus grovel, basically dance like a Russian bear would dance for the attendant. And still nothing. But you see, I believe, I don't know this to be a fact, that Sharpton wanted money there. He wanted money. He said, look, I'll say you've been saved. You've been saved. You've had an epiphany.
I don't want to accuse Reverend Al of that. Well, I mean, maybe you know something there, but I don't see anybody coming to Rogan's rescue right here.
Think of it, audience. Al Slim Shady Sharpton, while out there shaking money down from Roger Goodell and the NFL. And we're going to be talking about the NFL momentarily in advance of the
big game. Shh. Just call it the big game. I don't think we could call it the
That's a ripoff.
Yeah. I mean, can't we talk about it?
This should be free speech.
Well, what about the newsworthy exception? Because it is a newsworthy
event. Yeah, but it's free speech.
Well, we're not allowed to say it. We were told, call it the big game.
That's like a wrestler in the WWE.
They told us we got to call it the big game.
That's not free speech. But anyway, Al Slim Shady Sharpton's already out there trying to shake money down from the NFL for Flores. You know, Flores will get his money. Sharpton as the consigliere will bring in Ben Crump. And they'll divide up the pie. There's no doubt about it. And Flores is going to get paid off to go away.
Going to get paid.
All right. But in this situation, he's out there, as you mentioned. He sits down with the CEO of Spotify and he says, let's set up a civil rights boot camp. Joe Rogan comes in, has to humble himself a little bit.
Maybe Roger Goodell can join him. The two of them there.
One's enough.
No, we can't have
two's a crowd.
We can't have two middle-aged guys who work out way too much and make too much money for what they
do. Two's a crowd. And speaking of Roger Goodell, I have the replacement for Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, you were going to tell me.
Remember, last we spoke, he had just flipped and flopped.
Yep.
He said, don't assume that I'm leaving. And then the very next day, his manifesto was on Instagram.
Our about face of the week was wrong.
Like 55 pages.
It actually was an about face of an about face of an about face. It was a triple about face.
I believe that Roger Goodell will receive a phone call from Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, along with the owner-operator, Roger Kraft.
Jobs Biden, that's how I call him.
Right, but Robert Kraft, who still wants to know where his Super Bowl ring is because Putin lifted it. I think Joe Biden will say, look, I'm going to sign an executive order, Roger Goodell, that you have to make sure that Tom Brady's replacement is a minority female. I don't care what the consequences are to Kraft, who is no friend of mine, a Trump supporter, who always is crying about, Vladimir Putin stealing his ring.
Okay, so who is this person? Are we going to know it now? We got 20 seconds.
Does
to
it matter?
Who?
It's an executive order.
Who's it going
to
be?
You have to hire a minority female to replace Tom Brady.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Doesn't that sound like Joe Biden?
Could be. We'll find out on the other side of the break.
It's the left versus the right. It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Chris Hahn, let me give you your Eugene, Oregon moment where you're commuting with nature.
Yes.
It's the perfect PSA for Greenpeace. Our own Chris Hahn jogging along the Long Island Sound.
Yes.
In your environmentally friendly jogging shoes.
I mean, I don't know how environmentally friendly my Brooks running shoes are. And I run. I don't jog.
Children probably making them at the
age of
five.
They're made in Oregon, so
they're getting paid $89 an hour.
I doubt that they're being made by children out there. They're fantastic shoes, by the way. Look, I went for a run. Yesterday I ran 8 miles, so today I just want to take it easy. So I ran out of my house, and I ran down to this marsh by my house and ran through the marsh.
A marsh, which is so environmentally friendly. This is so cool. Greenpeace is listening right now.
I ran through the marsh to the beach along the Long Island Sound. I ran to this little inlet, and I'm like, oh, let me go run out to the point. There's some rocks on the point. So I ran out to the point, and I get to the point, and it was a little rough on the sound. But when you go around the point, you're kind of on a bay. And it was calm and sunny, and it was low tide, and there were seals on rocks. First, I see one huge seal on a rock, and I see the seals. It's between November and, like, March. There are seals out on Long Island. You could find them if you look for them. And I see this one seal on the rock, and then I see what I think looks like a kayak. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, somebody's kayak must have, you know, gotten loose during the storm and floated out a little bit. And I look closer, and it's like five seals on a rock, and it was just awesome. And, you know, where there's seals, there's sharks.
And walruses.
I didn't stop to look for them because I was just, it was cold, but, you know, when you're running, you don't feel it. You don't feel the cold, and it was sunny. I didn't want to stop and let the sweat start to make me cold, so I just kept running. But
that was your Greenpeace moment.
Yeah, I mean, I love seeing those seals. It's like there's nothing that makes me happier on a run than to see those seals.
Now, I remember as a kid, the vacation for us was Sunken Meadow Park on the Long Island Sound.
You could see Sunken Meadow Park from where I was running.
Right, so that was, for us, that was a vacation away from Coney Island, you know, and urban beaches where there was too much flotsam and jetsam in the water. So my Aunt Mary would say, pack up old Betsy, the 54 Ford with wood paneling and white wall tires, the station wagon. We're going to Sunken Meadows Park. Oh, my God, a forest out there to have a picnic. And then attached to a beach, the most gorgeous beach in the 60s.
It's rocky beach, but it's a beautiful beach.
And you're telling me that there are now seals luxuriating
this
out on the beach?
This time of year, if you go by where there are rocks on the Sound, big rocks, you will find seals. If it's low tide, you'll see them sitting on the rocks if it's sunny and calm.
Has that always been the case?
I only moved to this house 5 years ago. I never used to walk out to the point. It was it's like a mile and a half from the public beach, but it's only about a mile from my house. So I walk out to the point now, and I, you know, starting in late October, really, early November, you start to see the seals out there. It's fantastic. I love it.
And, you know, over the years, they wanted to build a tunnel underwater that would connect Connecticut, Westchester to Long Island.
They should. They should still do it.
Oh, environmentalists are opposed to that.
No, they're
not. Then they want to lay gas lines.
There is gas lines.
I know, but they want more because, obviously, a growing commercial sector needs more gas to make pizzas in the oven that you love so much.
I do love a pizza in an oven.
You realize Greenpeace would be at odds with you. They would say, it would threaten the seals.
I am not a Greenpeace activist, per se. And there's got to be a way to do it where everybody could coexist, where we could build a tunnel under the Sound. If we dig deep enough, we won't disturb anything.
By the way, this is a weekend. I know that you are euphoric. Your friend there in merry old England, Queen Elizabeth,
yes,
70th
queen.
Year.
God save the Queen, Curtis.
And Camellia.
Camilla.
Camilla.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with Vice President Harris, right?
No, that's Kamala.
Oh, Kamala.
Like Pamela.
It's very confusing.
Camilla, like Camilla.
They call her a consort. We always thought she was a gumata on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do they use that term, consort?
I don't know. I guess it just means the person the king has sex with.
And right? that's the
like Prince Philip was the consort.
Right.
But they never gave him the title king.
Right, but that is the actual term. What is the term they use for her?
She's the Duchess of York right now. Or no, the Duchess of Cambridge. And she will become the queen consort when Charles eventually ascends to the throne.
They actually term it queen consort.
That is correct.
And what becomes of little Randy Andy? Is he exiled out of
the royal family? I think he's done,
He's the royal perv.
He's going to be lucky not to go to jail, right, with all
question
this stuff coming
out. With the Queen Elizabeth cutting the cake, you know, 70 years
of
oppressing her servants, the people in the Commonwealth, the biggest deadbeat, I might add, welfare cheat in the world, a welfare queen.
Who?
Queen Elizabeth.
Why is she a welfare queen?
What does she do?
She's the queen.
No, you bow and you curtsy to her.
Look,
she does nothing
all day.
It saves
them from having to have a president who's going to try to, you know, storm the Capitol to keep people alive, you know, keep in power. She can be queen. She cuts the ribbons. She cuts the cake.
Who will live longer? Who will outlive who? Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, or Queen Elizabeth?
Oh, I hope they both live a very long life. Chris Hahn, Curtis Siwa. We'll see you next week.